I have been saying to people, even just lately, like almost like saying Happy New Year to them. And, you know, what an amazing start to the year it is. And Susie's like right in front of the people while I'm saying it to them, she's like, come on, Matt, it's you know, the end of February. What are you doing? It's not the beginning of the new year. But inside, I just feel like the year is starting. And, you know, God has no time frame. So really, I'm right. I mean, we could be starting the year today. So just let me live in my fantasy land, will you, for a little while longer. But I've been talking about this year to people and what a big year that it is. And God's got big things for us. And we need to be thinking big. And so my job today is to challenge you to think bigger, to step out of the boat. I'm believing today for you, for the people of Good News Church, to launch out into new ministries, launch out into new projects, maybe pick up some things that have slipped, you've let slip, some old things. But just to be obedient to what he's telling you to do. I know he's speaking to all of us. I think for some people, you're going to be going to new nations this year. Maybe for the first time, going to a new nation. Maybe a new area. But there's something essential to all of this for it to happen, for it to be a big year. And I want to talk about that today. So let's look over in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. You know, when you're reading the book of Acts, you're talking about our people. Did you know that? These are our people. This is our family. This is our heritage. And so we're going back 2,000 years ago, and, you know, the early church sets the standard for today's church. But God is not wanting us just to maintain what was. He wants us to go beyond things. And so we need to be looking and reading the book of Acts and looking at it and be expecting these same things to happen. But also we know that God does things in a greater way. I mean, we're the E320 church, Ephesians 3:20. So we need to be expecting super abundantly more than we can dare ask or think or hope or dream or pray, as the Amplified says. So let's read Acts 4, verse 23. And you know the story here. In Acts 3, Peter and John, they're going, you know, to the temple to pray. They see the guy at the gate called Beautiful, the lame guy since birth. They silver and gold I have none, but what I give you I have. You know, rise up and walk. The guy's healed. Causes a big stir. And then Peter and John are brought before the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, and they're threatened, you know, don't preach in the name of Jesus, don't speak in that name. And, you know, they would have beaten them, they would have put them in jail, but they were afraid of the people. So they just severely warned them, gave them a warning, and let them go. And so then Peter and John now go back to their company. And so let's pick up the story in Acts 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions. Now, it's important right now, and it's always been important, but it's important to be in church. It's important to have a church family, a church company. There's too many people right now, they're just kind of on their own, and they think that they can move forward in God on their own, but you can't, because we're made to be in a family. We're made to be in a company. So I want to encourage you, maybe if you're watching by live streaming and you don't have a church, you know, to actively seek and find one. And have a place where you call home. And then if you have a place that you call home, be involved. Be a part of that body. The enemy's going to do all he can to divide and offend and cause you to draw back. But you just say, no, this is my family. This is my body. I'm going to be a part of them. I mean, families have problems. There's not a family out there, a natural family, that doesn't have problems. But we stick in there. We stick with them. These are my brothers and sisters. So we're going to have problems. Anytime you got two people together, you know, in a marriage, you're going to have problems. People have differences. But, I mean, as believers, we rise above that. We walk in love. We choose to forgive. We choose to be graceful. And we keep on coming back together. I mean, maybe we may be sitting on opposite sides of the room and maybe even mad at each other. But we still choose to be a part of things. So being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. And so when they heard that, they raised their voice. And so this is what they did when they were threatened. This is what they did when they felt like quitting. This is what they did when they felt like giving up and or retreating. They prayed. They raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things, and the kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Who wants to see that? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So there's an ingredient here that's necessary for us to move forward. For us to have this big year, to step out of the boat, to fulfill God's plan, and that ingredient is boldness. Everybody say boldness. Boldness is critical and vital in this hour. So as I was praying about this service today, Lord wanted me to remind you today of who you are, what you have, and that you are bold people. Timothy says, we've not been given the spirit of fear. One translation says timidity. We've not been given the spirit of timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind. That's who we are. Now, this word boldness has different parts to it, and I want to read all the different parts, but highlight a couple of them. It means outspokenness, bluntness, freedom in speaking, unreserved speech. It means you're not holding back. It's free and fearless confidence, cheerful giving, courage, cheerful courage. Cheerful giving is good. Opposite of being a coward, timid or fearful. And I liked what one scholar wrote. He said this, that this boldness in Acts was divine enablement that comes upon ordinary people. We got any ordinary people in the house today? Divine enablement that comes upon ordinary people to exhibit spiritual power and authority. It is the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what it said, you know, in Acts 4 there. Well, I'll go back and read what it says. They spoke, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It makes sense that the disciples were bold because their master was bold. John 7, verse 25. Now it says, "Now some of them from Jerusalem said, 'Is this not he whom they seek to kill?' But look, he speaks boldly." Jesus was bold. He was bold. He was bold in the face of the religious leaders. He was bold in the face of the Roman authority. He was bold in the face of people. I mean, he said things that got people so mad. I mean, they wanted to kill him. Remember that time that they were ready to push him over the cliff in Luke 4? And it says that he walked through their midst. He made them mad. He wasn't afraid to do or to say things. Jesus was bold. So it's no surprise that his followers should be bold. Let's look at Ephesians 3. And let's talk about the source of boldness. Ephesians 3, verse 8. "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." This is Paul writing this. "And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom," everybody say, "in whom," or we could say, "in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, in him." You know, Paul brought the revelation of who we are in Christ, that when you were born again, you were seated with him in heavenly places. You were blessed with all spiritual blessings, that you were now in a position in Christ. You were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have a right standing with the Father. You were made a son and daughter. And at that moment, you received an inheritance. And you've been given authority. Now, it takes some time to walk in that, to grow in your understanding. But every one of us are in Him. They're in Christ. And so Paul has over 140 promises. And that's a good study sometimes. If you have the old Abundant Life manual that we have here, we have listed a lot of the in Him scriptures. So go through them, and you can go through the Gospels and go through Acts and go through Paul's writings and find those places where it says in Him, in whom, by Him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But when you do that, you'll find out who you are, what you have, and what you can do in Christ. So, Paul saying, in whom? Anybody in Christ? Who's in Christ? In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. So there's at least three sources of boldness. We're going to walk in boldness this year. We need to know where it comes from. It comes through prayer, asking God for boldness. We do that all the time here. To pray for it, ask God for Him. The other way it comes from knowing your identity and who you are. When you know who you are, there's a confidence that comes. You look at things differently. Other people look at it maybe fearful about a situation, but you're confident because you know who you are and you know your authority. And then the third way it comes out of relationship. When you spend time with God, who He is. Remember I said Jesus is bold? Well, God's bold. When you spend time with people, what's on them rubs off on you. And so spending time with God in prayer, spending time with God in the Word, spending time with God in worship, boldness is a byproduct of that. So ask Him, know who you are, spend time with God. Boldness will come, and a confidence will rise up in you. Confidence goes a long way. A fearlessness. And a big part of that boldness is a fearlessness to speak. When before you might have been silent, whereas before you might not have acted, but when you're bold, and it's the Holy Spirit comes on you to step out and to be fearless. But it's to speak. And when we need that. And so if we're going to step out, who wants to step out this year? Who wants a dull, ordinary, boring kind of year? Raise your hand. As that was a test to see if you were asleep, because sometimes you ask these questions. I mean, you know, like you say, praise the devil, and, you know, they start raising their hand. I mean, so that was a test. You all passed. Or maybe you were so asleep. I mean, I've given people permission to sleep today. I've really softened my views where I used to just, you know, blast them when they slept during service. Now I tell them, go ahead and sleep. So go ahead and sleep. So maybe, you know, so if I ask the question, you can't raise your hand because you're asleep. God wants us to be bold. He wants us to be bold with Him in prayer. Hebrews 4. I am going to get a drink of water and I'm coming down on the floor. Okay. All right. I'm on the floor. I did that in a bold way, didn't I? Like something's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen. I'm about to read the Word of God. And it is so crazy, so wild, so unbelievable. You've got to be a believer to believe it. And so, look. Buddy's got his eyes open. Look at the Word. Hebrews 4:16 says, what does it say? There we go. Let us fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy. Anybody need some mercy today? For our failures. Anybody who just missed it this week? Who just did something stupid? Come on up, you know. Who did something stupid this week? Anybody sin this week? Do we have any sinners in the house today? Just royally just messed up. Nobody, right? But this is for you. He's got mercy. Now, how about anybody here is just facing an impossible challenge? Anybody just faced with the biggest trial, the biggest situation? You don't know what to do. You got just this big, huge mountain in front of you. Well, that's grace. You need grace. You need empowerment. You need encouragement. So if you've missed it or you're facing a challenge, to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. He wants you to come boldly to the throne. He wants you to, and it's the throne of grace. And He wants you to let it just hang out. He doesn't want you to be reserved. Just tell it to Him. Tell Him how you feel. Tell Him what you're thinking. Tell Him about the crazy thoughts you've been having. But we need some people to start praying some bold prayers. We're not going to see big things unless we say big things. Nothing big happens without it being prayed, without it being spoken. And you can't be timid. We need to be bold. And so I say to you, start speaking big things and praying big things over your family, over your loved ones, over your friends, over your marriage, over your finances, over your body, over your household, over your neighborhood, over your school, over this city, over our government. It's not going to change unless we say so. We've been given the authority. And sometimes we get afraid. And sometimes because of circumstances and situations and the pressure, we back down. And what do? When we're weary, we're silent. And that's just what the devil wants. He wants a silent church. We're not a silent church. We're bold people. We go boldly to the throne. He wants you to be outspoken in prayer. Not be timid, not be afraid. 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence. Same word as boldness back in Acts. But I like that. I like confidence. Confident people go a long way. I mean, you can have someone of great talent and someone of so-so talent, but if that person with less talent is confident, they can actually outshine the more talented person. Like me with singing. It's a perfect example of that. You've heard me sing. I mean, I just bring the house down when I sing. And that's why I don't sing more, because you can't handle it. I don't, you know, we got things to do. If I just keep on singing, the rapture's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in Him. We are sure, look at the words, that if we ask anything, make any request according to His will. What's His will?
His word,
in agreement with His own plan. He listens to and hears us. He hears bold people. He hears confident people. And if since we positively know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions. Woo! Present possessions. The request made of Him. I like that, present possessions. That's what faith is. Faith is knowing that you have it before you see it. If you're waiting to see it, to believe that you have it, that's not faith. That's really doubt. That's unbelief. Seeing things before you have it. And that's why we should be confident. I'm telling you, good things are coming to your household. Good things are coming to your way. We need to start seeing it. I want to encourage you to pray it, to speak it. So it's time to pray boldly. It's time to confess the word boldly. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 35. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence. Same word, boldness. Do not therefore cast away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. God's got great reward for those people that are bold. And do a little study. I'm not going to take the time, but go back and read the rest of Hebrews 10, and it's talking about your confession of faith. Your confession of God's Word. Y'all remember that confession of the Word? Does anybody remember that? Remember years ago? Do you remember hearing about that? About a thing called confession of the Word? Do you remember that? Let me tell you what it was like back in the old days. People, I mean, this is so crazy. They used to take the Word of God and put it like on a card or write it down. This is crazy. And they used to put it on a card. Maybe they had it, you know, written down somewhere. And then they would take it and make a confession out of it. Isn't that crazy? And then they would read that and say that every day about their day, about their week, about their year. I mean, those people, that is so old school. We have progressed so far. We're way beyond that. You remember that, Sean? Remember the old days? Vaguely. Where are those people? Where are they? You're one of those, Tanya? Yeah. Tanya, what's one of those verses? What do you got there?
Those are my cards.
Nate, I don't have my glasses. Read me a couple of these. Read a couple of Tanya's cards here. Come. Can you read it? Give me a couple.
Peace. I let the peace of God rule in my heart. I refuse to worry about anything. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Hey, that's good, Tanya.
Okay. If it's too personal, don't read it, but just read the...
Here we go. Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Sower overtakes the reaper. Lord, you always continually lead and guide me. You satisfy my needs and desires, providing good things for me, even in dry, parched, sun-scorched desert land. You strengthen and make me healthy. I am like a well-watered garden, a spring that never runs dry. Hallelujah. She literally has dozens of these. I could keep going.
One more, Nate. Pick out a good one, man. Make it a good one.
Okay, good.
No pressure.
You didn't put these in order for me, Ty. Psalm 25:4-5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day.
Thank you, Tanya. That is awesome. And, you know, we could have a service right now, and Tanya could, and Kelly could testify of what God has done. So many things. I've been with the two of them, I mean, standing right here, when they told me some rough situations they were facing. And then with the two of them, we just laughed. We just laughed at the devil. Remember that, guys? Right here, right in this spot. Because of the word, because of the expectancy in God. We need to get back to that. We need to get back to our confession of faith. Boldly speaking, and not be timid about it. He's got things in his word that he wants us to say. Ephesians 6. So he wants us to pray boldly. He wants us to confess the word boldly. He wants us to speak boldly. Ephesians 6, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. Get ready, Susie. Praying. Are you getting ready? Okay. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I was, I went on a couple summer projects after I got saved with a ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ. My first project was spent a summer in San Diego, the beaches of San Diego, suffering for Jesus. Whew, a lot of suffering. And then I went to the nation of Panama for 2 months, just before I went to Oral Roberts University. And we had a lot of ministry, both in San Diego and Panama. We saw over 10,000 people saved. A lot of ministry, a lot of things that we did. But I remember we were going on this ferry ride to this island off of Panama. It's called Toboga Island. And it was a ferry full of Panamanians, and there would happen to be a lot of Americans on the boat, some military. Of course, in Panama, we've got a U.S. military base there. And it happened to be a lot of Marines that were on this particular ferry. And so we're up on, and I'm just, and you know, enjoying myself, and we got our whole team with us, and it's really a day of rest. We're having some fun. We've been through a lot of ministry, so we're just going to take a little rest, go over to this kind of resort island, and just kind of spend the day on the beach and have some fun. And so I'm just kind of minding my own business. I'm on the top of the ferry. The thing is packed, probably too many people. And I'm just, it's a beautiful day. Just sitting in the sunshine, you know, just enjoying myself. And the next thing I know, this Panamanian guy that was a part of the team we were working with in Panama stands up with a megaphone and starts preaching a whole bunch of things in Spanish. I know it's preaching because every once in a while I'll hear Gloria a Dios or Jesus Cristo or, you know, something like that. And I know that it's about God. And mean, this guy has got a megaphone to a bunch of people, tourists, relaxing people, preaching the gospel on top of the ferry. And he is giving it to them. I don't know what. I mean, I like the Spanish language, but I mean, you know, when a fuerte, I mean, it was, I don't know what the word bold is in Spanish. Do you know what it is? No? Okay, well. Look it up at Google or somebody. Anyway. But, you know, it was powerful. Then he takes the megaphone and hands it to the leader of our group. Like, now it's your turn. And I've never seen such a look of fear and panic on one person in my entire life. I mean, he turned white. He was white already, but I mean, he's whiter. I mean, it's just like, and he's got it, and then he finds his assistant, and he gives it to him, and you know, says, "I can't do this. You need to do it." And then he gets all afraid and passes it on to somebody else. And so they're passing it through all the different people on our team, and finally, it gets to me. The megaphone. I'm on vacation today. I've never done this. I don't have a ferry, you know, boat ministry. I don't have a megaphone to people I don't know ministry yet. And I've got it, and I could just follow the rest of the wimpy people on our team and, you know, just do what they did. But I just said, you know what? What do I have to lose? And so I grabbed the thing, took it, and stood up on the thing, on the bench, and just started speaking stuff. I gave my testimony. I preached end time doctrine. I talked about, I don't know what I said, but I just said everything I could until I finally stopped. I have no idea what I said. And got down and handed the megaphone back to one of the Panamanians and sat in my chair like, "Oh my God, what did I just do?" And then sitting behind me is a Marine, and he just kind of reaches over and says, "Hey, that was really good." So then I proceeded to turn around, and there was like six huge Marines. I'm like this 140-pound guy. I wasn't the strapping man that I am today. I had my "Smile, God Loves You" t-shirt on. But I proceed to talk to these six Marines about Jesus. And some of them, I mean, they were mocking me. They were like some of them were just making fun of me. And like, you know, "Who are you? You know, forget all this." But three of them were open, and three of them prayed the prayer to be saved. That, my friends, was boldness. That, my friends, wasn't me. That's not something I would do. That's not something I was planning on doing. But I've certainly been praying about it. I've been certainly wanting that. But it comes from those moments when the megaphone's going to be handed to you. And what are you going to do? I'm trying to get you ready, because I think there's going to be some megaphones put in your hand this year. And at that moment, you have to make your decision up before then what you're going to do. Susie, share that. Just whatever you got. That's kind of scary to say that, but
I think I just got the megaphone. Gloria a Dios. Okay. I was sitting there, I was just thinking about, you know, sometimes people discount themselves from taking the megaphone and using it. You know, Matt is not by nature a very bold person. Matt's an introvert. He's pretty quiet. You know, y'all see Matt when he's all Pastor Matt here, but he's pretty quiet, you know, by nature, and he's not the boldest guy in the world by nature. And I say that because God transforms you in order to use you. And so don't think, "Oh, I could never do that," because that's just not how I am. That, you know, you're Pastor Matt and you can do that, but I'm just telling you, God comes on us, and that's what part of that work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is, that He enables us, empowers us, He endues us and clothes us with His power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. He literally clothes us with Himself so that we can be bold. He makes us witnesses. And Matt asked me to tell you a story, but I want to give you a little preface. Many of y'all know Grayson. Grayson, stand up. Grayson is our younger son. He's the fourth of our four kids. Maybe the least of them. Maybe the greatest. Ooh, that would be a debate. But y'all know Grayson, those of you who attend here regularly, you see him receiving the offering and doing various things. And Grayson's kind of, you know, bold here, and probably you think he would just do just about anything. And sometimes as his mother, I think, dear me, he probably would. But Grayson hasn't always been that way. And I was, while Matt was sharing, I was just thinking about how God transforms us. And I remember when Grayson was a little kid, and my mom will attest to this, we would, you know, have his clothes out that he's going to wear to church. And Grayson would say, no, no, I can't wear that. I'm not going to wear that. I remember my mother sort of wrestling with him at times about various things. And he would say, people would look at me. And he would say, are you still standing? Would you just sit down? What are you doing, man? Sit down. People are going to look at you. Okay. But as a little kid, you remember that nanny? He would say, oh, no, and various things would happen. He'd come to kids' church, and he'd come home. You know, he'd be back with Miss Claire in the kids' club, and he'd come home, and he'd say, oh, they were looking at me. And it would just upset him. It would make him, he didn't like it. He didn't want people looking at him. He was intimidated by that, and it was, oh, don't look at me. And it's hard to imagine that this kid used to say, people might look at me, because it's now like, everybody look at me. But, you know, it was like that for a long time in his life. He didn't want people looking at him. He wasn't bold. And over time, you know, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit at a young age, and that made a difference in his life. And then, when he's about 11, we started doing outreaches here at Good News Church. We started doing major outreaches here at Good News Church, and we had a series of meetings that we called impact meetings. And during the day, we'd go out on the streets and share the gospel to total strangers. And then at night, we would have gospel meetings, healing meetings. And some of you were here during that time, and just a lot of amazing things happened. And we did that over the course of several summers. Well, the first summer that we were doing that, Grayson's just a little kid. He's like, how old were you then? Maybe 11? 12. So, you know, not a tiny kid, but he's a young guy. And we would go out on teams, and Nate Barber, Pastor Nate Barber, is famous for just his method of training is throw you in there. And he was in charge of the outreaches, and he would pair Grayson up with somebody, and he would just throw him in there, and Grayson would end up supposed to be helping train somebody or be with somebody. And Grayson would go up to total strangers who were adults, and he would start, you know, trying to talk to them, and they didn't want to talk to him, and he was really frustrated. And I would get an earful about how frustrated he was about the outreaches, because nobody wants to talk to me, and he was scared, and he was really intimidated, but he just kept at it. And, of course, Nate kept throwing him in there. And he got where he could actually share the gospel with people. And they practiced back in the kids' ministry. They would practice. And he started learning to really just share the gospel. And he got more and more confident. And the more confident he got in what he knew. And this is a real key to boldness, is like Matt was talking about, knowing who you are in Christ. And then knowing, not just knowing who you are, but knowing what you have to share. And in these... In these verses where Paul talks about being bold, being a bold witness, and being bold with the gospel, Paul knew the gospel. And I just want to say this to you, as an able minister, which is what we're raising up here at Good News Church, according to our vision that's here on the wall, that you would be an able minister, it's important that you know and understand the gospel. That's why we do these training events. That's why we're doing this Healing the Sick seminar coming up in a few weeks. Because you'll be a lot more confident if you know what you're doing. Boldness seems to just come out of knowing sometimes. You know what I mean? Like if I said 7 times 6, what's 7 times 6? Well, the reason you're bold to shout that out is because you know it. And so That's one thing that leads to boldness in our lives is knowing. I know in whom I have believed. And that knowing, that confidence will bring forth in your life a boldness. Well, anyway, as he got more confident in knowing the gospel, things began to change, and he started having a lot more success in the outreaches, and he can tell you a story another day. But the story that Matt wanted me to share with you is something that happened a couple of years ago, and they, the young adults, were meeting in a group. They still do this on Thursday nights called Lower Room, and they were. At that time, they would go out to get a bite to eat afterwards, and they'd go into a Mexican restaurant there in North Augusta where we live, and they were at the Mexican restaurant, and they were at table, and they were sharing together a meal, and then it was time to leave, and our older son, Harry, was there with them, and they'd ridden, I think they'd driven separately, but they were there, and there were some other people they were taking home, and anyway, Harry and Grayson and another guy went out to leave the Mexican restaurant, and when they came out, they heard some noise coming from back behind, sounded like back behind the building. And so it was some shouting, like loud voices. And so they heard this noise, and it kind of tells you about Harry and Grayson and how they are. There's a ruckus going on, and Harry says, well, we need to go to the car. And Grayson starts towards the ruckus. And he got around to the side of the building, and it was louder. And he thought Harry was with him. And Harry was in the car leaving. And and he gets around to the back of the building. So he's behind the Mexican restaurant, back behind the building. And when he comes around, he realizes it's a man's voice, and a woman is screaming. And when he comes around the corner, he didn't know what to expect, and what he encountered, he had never encountered before, but he saw a man and a woman, and it was after dark, so it's not super well lit. The woman's screaming, and he realizes that the man is on the woman, and he's yelling at her, and in a moment there's no more screaming from the woman because he has his hands around her neck. And here's little Grayson. Now, I can tell you, you know, Grayson's dad, the fierce 140-pound man that he was, one thing that Matt never taught the boys was how to fight. I'm not sure he knows much about it. And I know some of you, you're really good at that, and you probably carry, but he wasn't carrying, and he didn't know much about how to fight. In fact, when Grayson was in the third grade, he played football, and he goes to football practice, and he's all excited, and he comes home. He's like, they hit me. I don't want to go back. They run it. No, don't make me play football. They hit. So he's not a big fighter. And then, so he's encountering this. So what are you going to do? Because now this is a situation. And he turns around to say to Harry, who usually knows what to do, Harry, what are we going to do? And Harry's gone. He's not there. It's just Grayson. Yeah, Harry drove off. He literally left. Grayson's got this. I'm out of here. And there he is. So now he's in a situation. Here's a guy and a girl. And it's a bad situation. And the guy now is attacking this woman. He's got her by the neck. And Grayson, when he's telling us the story later, he's like, you know, what are you going to do? And I'm really anxiously waiting to hear what he did do, you know. It's the mom. Like, what'd you do? And he said, I have to tell y'all, it just came up out of me. He said, the next thing I know, at the top of my lungs, I just start preaching the gospel. I know, right, Taryn? I'm like, it's just like, it's like that was just what came up out of me. And he said, so I just start walking towards them, preaching the gospel at the top of my lungs. And he said, at first, you know, it was like, I'm just adding to the mix of what's going on there. And then suddenly it's like the guy, I guess, heard me, and he's got his hands around this woman's neck, and he's like, suddenly, instead of all his attention being on her, he's like, well, there's a noise, and he starts turning around, and Grayson's walking towards him, just yelling the gospel, Jesus. crucified, dead, buried, risen. And the guy's going, and he kind of turns around and relaxes his hold. And suddenly the woman, I guess she realizes what is going on, and she's looking and she's listening, and he releases his hold and sort of stands by her, and she stands there. And then he said, the next thing he knows, they sit down on the curb. He just keeps going with his spiel, his gospel spiel. And they sit down on the curb, and the next thing, there's tears. And he leads them both to the Lord. From choking them to sharing the gospel to leading them to the Lord. And then he was able to talk to them. They were actually, you know, had come out of the restaurant. They were actually employees of the restaurant and had come out and had gotten into this situation. And I don't know the details of what was going on between them. And the guy had to get back in, realized, kind of came to himself, what am I doing? What is this? And he, you know, he thanks Grayson. Grayson finds out his name, finds out they have a mutual friend, and a lot of stuff happens. And he goes back in, and the girl's there, and she says, and she's crying. She's like, I don't know where you came from. I don't know why you did what you did, but you just saved me, man. Thank you. Thank you. Now, that's from the little kid that was like, they may look at me. That's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. He'll change you and transform you, make you into a different person. He'll make you bold. Because there's one thing for you to just try to work up something in yourself. Doesn't mean you don't do anything. You show up. You do your part. You give him something to work with. But you expect him to work in you and change you. And I'll just say this. God wants to use all of us. And we so often disqualify ourselves because we say, who am I? And over we see that in the scriptures. It's what Moses said. Who am I? People continually said, who am I? You're somebody God lives in. You're a God man, God woman, someone the Holy Spirit has come upon. And he's there for a purpose, and it's not just for your purposes. He's there for his purposes. And ultimately, his purpose is to show himself and reveal the goodness of God in this earth, because people desperately need it, like that couple did that day. They desperately needed a change in their lives. And how strange they go from what could have been a bad, bad thing was going on. And they went from that to sitting on a curb receiving Jesus. Just because someone allowed God to use them and be bold. So, this is my story. It's your story, Betty.
Praise God. Let's close with a couple of scriptures here. Acts 4, verse 13. And this is the Sanhedrin now talking about Peter and John. Acts 4, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and realized they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Now, who knows the last verses of the book of Acts? Let's read how it ends, the book of Acts. Acts 28, verse 30. After this, Paul lived there for two entire years. This is after he was... he appealed to the Romans, and so he's in Rome, and now he's being house detained. After this, Paul lived there for two entire years at his own expense, in his own rented lodging, and he welcomed all who came to him, preaching to them the kingdom of God and teaching them about the Lord Jesus Christ with boldness and quite openly without being molested or hindered. So isn't that interesting? The book of Acts starts with boldness, ends with boldness. And everything in between is bold. And what does that say about the church today for us? We're to continue to walk in that. That's who we are. That ought to be an earmark of the church today. So I'm just reminding you, again, for people here at Good News Church, this is some things you already know, but I want to remind you today to be bold in your prayers, to be bold in your confession, to be bold in your speaking. You're going to be put in situations where you're going to want to be quiet, and the Lord's going to deal with you and say, step out. Maybe for some people, it'll be the first time you've ever shared the gospel. Maybe for some time, people, it'll be the first time you've ever laid hands on the sick. Maybe you've never shared the gospel with family or in a group setting. I believe this is your year. I want to encourage you that is it March 19th, 18th, to come to that that seminar on healing. That'll be great. You'll learn a lot of things that day. And knowledge is power. It's going to give you confidence. But also, I want to encourage you to be bold in your plans. I think this is a year to think big. And there's a lot of temptation because of what's happening in the world to draw back. To kind of just, we're just going to maintain and don't mess things up and keep the status quo. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, for some reason, this year reminds me of 2001. And, you know, that was 9/11. But just a lot of fear, a lot of panic. I feel that same kind of fear in people. And fear paralyzes you. Fear, you know, it causes you to draw back and say, you know, I just want to get in my house and lock the doors and have my security system and, you know, just stay in my little cocoon here and watch TV. That's not what the Lord's saying to me. The Lord's saying to me, full steam ahead. He's saying to me, step out. He's saying to me, think big. He's saying to me, we're going to do things we haven't done before. He's saying to me, don't make small plans. And so in order to see big things, we need to expect big things. I mean, you may need to be bold with the banker. You may need to be bold with in a legal situation, with a judge. You may need to be bold with family members. I don't know what the situation is. It's different for each one of us. You know, the day of Pentecost, when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, isn't it interesting what happened to the people? They weren't like, then they had this big time of prayer. That's good. Or a big time of worship. That was good. Or a big time of encouraging each other. That's good. You need all that. What happened on the day of Pentecost, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were pushed out of that upper room, out into the streets. Acts 2, Acts 3 is the situation with Peter and John. Acts 2 is where Peter, a fisherman, preaches his first sermon. He's got the megaphone. Preaches his first sermon, and was it 3,000 saved? That's pretty good for your first sermon. Fishermen. I look at Peter. I mean, I love Peter. Peter gives me hope. I mean, I think Peter cussed. Don't raise your hand, but we got any people in here to cuss? Don't raise your hand. Who cussed today? Who cussed out in the parking lot? God can use someone who cusses. Now, I'm not, you know, recommending it. I'm not endorsing it. But God can use you, and He wants to use you. Yeah. Go ahead and stand up.